You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, second Saturday of the month. So if you're a regular listener, you're following along in your complimentary Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar. You're staring there at February 8th, and you can see we're going to be talking about fertilizing queen palms, but we have a tree of the month as well.
Yes, we do.
Good morning, tell us about it, we've got ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower in studio with a guest. And if you'd like to talk trees, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can send a picture to info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need a little help describing your project, or you need a little help with plant insect identification.
I'm sorry, I was interrupting you, jumping right in. I'm so anxious to let your listeners know
talking.
This morning. You know,
I got the preamble done. It's yours, preacher.
I think it's important. I think it's important that your listeners know that we are looking out a bank of huge, tall windows out on trees. And not only trees, but the ones that are right in the foreground here are Arizona State Tree, our Parkinsonia Florida, which is our blue Palo Verde, and a bunch of trees in the background as well. We're not in the bottom of a dark, damp basement, studio. This is a beautiful studio facility here at KTAR, and I just thought your listeners should know that every morning that we come in here on a Saturday, you say, good morning, it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we get the privilege of looking out at our Arizona State Tree. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful setting here for this show this morning. And yes, we do. We have a tree of the month, and I have a guest of the month, which I'm really just delighted to introduce, Rebecca Senior. Rebecca is a friend of mine, a colleague in our industry I've known for decades, and she is I described her to Rosie this morning as a gift to Arizona and especially to the horticultural community. She is amazing. I met her when she was head of the Desert Landscaper School at the Desert Botanical Garden for 8 years. And she's been just involved in our community on the Arizona Community Tree Council. And of course, now she's working as for the Extension Agency with the University of Arizona, Maricopa County Extension Office, and working closely with the Master Gardener Program. Again, has her hands deep in all things green. And Rebecca, it's nice to have you here today.
Thank you so much, John. I am thrilled to be here, thrilled to talk trees with you anytime.
Well, the reason I'm so happy to have you here, one of the main reasons, is because the tree of the month is one that you suggested that I add to my list of favorite trees. What happened about 6 or 8 months ago is I was putting together the list of trees of the month for 2020. And I was scratching my head for kind of some new ideas. And I had this brainstorm that I would put out a request to all my green industry friends and say, hey, send me your three favorite trees, because I'd like to be introduced to some new ideas with regard to that. Little did I know that I would get buried with some amazing trees. So the lineup of trees for 2020 is really, really cool. And this one we're going to focus on today is the Vitex trifolia, which is different than the Vitex agnus castus, which we've mentioned before, which is the chaste tree, the beautiful purple blooms. This is a little bit different. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? This was one that Rebecca offered. This is one of three that she sent in.
Yeah, I would love to talk about this plant. I planted one that I bought at the Desert Botanical Gardens plant sale at my mom's house many years ago, and it was new to me, and I thought, look at these lovely, velvety, soft leaves, and they had a purple under color, and that was very unique. And so put it in, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and showed itself to be so drought tolerant and had a nice, like a bloom stalk that would come out. And so I really started to fall in love with it at that time. And since then, I've learned more about it. It is native to Australia. It can be a cut pruned up into a small tree. And that's something that I'm looking for always for our clients that are living in these smaller townhomes or condominiums, something that they can have. And then this plant doesn't have any thorns, John, which right. is important right. when you have a little patio home.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't
We've talked about the oleanders, you know, dying around town due to the oleander leaf scorch and looking for suitable replacement plants. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the hop bush in recent mm-hmm. weeks, and that's another great alternative to the oleander. But this sounds like it would be a suitable plant for that application too.
Yeah, you know, at 10 to 15 foot height, right. you can block a neighbor's yard, a Winnebago, or whatever you need to do, and it's just can be grown down to the ground.
And so, what's the street name? What's the street name for this plant?
Well, Arabian lilac is one of them, okay. one of the common names.
Okay.
Although it grows there. A really interesting fact about it is that in the California nursery trade, prior to 2002, it wasn't really used. So here's a plant that's been around for, you know, ever,
yeah.
and it just comes to our attention, and also in California. So we always can look for surprises and new plant material to use that serves us well.
Yeah, so the Arabian lilac, Vitex trifolia, one of those, you know, it's a large shrub or a small tree, rather slow growing, but it's beautiful, and it's got that green leaf, but a purple underside to the leaves and a little bit of purplish bloom. Something you might want to look it up and maybe inquire about it at your local nurseries for that Vitex trifolia. Yes, we've got a lot of other topics to cover today, and I'm so glad to have a sidekick here who I can just lean on. She's a wealth of knowledge. But we want to talk a little bit about cutting back frost damage this time of year.
We got a nice little cold snap here.
Yeah, we did. We were wondering if we kind of had gotten out of the cold, and then we dropped down into that freezing temperature. It looks like the 10-day forecast is going to be really mild straight through the next, right through the average last day of frost, which is about February 15th, right around Valentine's Day. Is kind of the cutoff time for when you can start to cut back some of your shrubs. We always say that when you get close to that 15th of February date, which is sort of the time that you can start to cut back your frost-damaged plants and all, look at the 10-day forecast, make sure that there's not a cold snap that's coming up. And then if you're clear and those low temperatures are in the 40s still or higher, you can go ahead and start to make those pruning cuts. But this is our prime time for not only cutting back our frost damage, but beginning to do a little bit of pruning on some of your trees. You'll find that this is your a little nicer weather to get out there with your pruning shears. But yeah, just watch that weather. I guess we got some rain coming up too in the next few days too. I guess there's a couple more rain days in store for us, which is awesome.
I'm getting some pre-emergent just in case, because if it starts pouring, I'm starting to spread.
Yeah, a lot of pre-emergents going down right now all over town to try to get ahead of those weeds that are just going to be, it seems like I walk out in my backyard, and if I'm not out there every week, I walk out there, and oh my gosh, I got weeds that are knee-high. And that becomes problematic, because of course they go to seed. You wait for those weeds to go to seed, and then you start trying to even removing them at that point manually, you're going to be knocking the seeds all down for next year. So you're going to have another harvest of seeds the following season. So yeah, the pre-emergent's good. We prefer not to use a pre-emergent. You know, at our house, we just deal with it and do our own mechanical removal of our weeds. So of course, you know, whether you're doing pre-emergent or whether you're trimming them out yourself, it's a lot better to get them while they're small rather than waiting until they're big and they've gone to seed. And then no matter how careful you are in pulling those weeds out, you're going to be scattering those seeds for next year. So, yeah, get out ahead of them. Another reminder, if you are deep in weeds, is consider burying them in about 4 to 6 inches of wood chips. If you've got a yard that would allow wood chips, you know, you can cut the weeds down. If they're knee high, of course, you got to cut them down. But I love to just cover those smaller weeds with wood chips. What does that do? It kills the weeds because it blocks the sunlight to the weeds, and so they're not going to grow up. But what's beautiful is that when the weeds get into wood chips, you know how easy they are to pull out? You know, it's so hard to pull weeds out of our tight clay soils, especially when the soil is dry. Mm-hmm. But to when you have weeds that pop up in wood chips, it's so easy. Just go and grab them and pull them out with a simple pull of your hand, and they'll pull out easy. So that's what we like to do. We cover a good part of our backyard in wood chips. It's about 6 inches deep in wood chips. Everywhere the weeds can grow, I put wood chips down.
You know, and so over the course of years, it breaks down. It just makes the soil better for
sure. And then I'll bring in another load of wood chips in a couple of years, and we'll spread a few more.
Yeah, I would imagine an arborist
says the guy never has a shortage
of wood chips.
Who has an endless supply of wood chips.
Well, you all have an endless supply of wood chips, too. You just give us a call. We drop them off for free.
How many chippers do you have on the road any one day?
We vote for all the wood chips supplies throughout the world to end up in your yard rather than in the landfill, you know. And wouldn't it be nice if we could cover this earth with wood chips? And that's the way, you know, God's designed us to have skin, fish to have scales, birds to have feathers, and he designed the earth to have a layer of litter, leaf litter, that helps to protect the earth's surface. And if we are covering it with we end up raking up our leaves, blowing them into piles, and then bagging them up and putting them in the trash, it doesn't make any sense. I know it means for a less manicured yard. That's the problem with a lot of our homeowner associations aren't going to let you put wood chips in the front yard. I understand that, and that's a shame, because we end up having to put pre-emergent over our decomposed granite in order to control the weeds, because we don't have that nice protective layer of leaf mulch underneath all of our trees. But if you have the opportunity to do that in any parts of your yard, I certainly recommend it. It's healthy for the trees, and it's sure a lot less work to pull those weeds.
Well, if you're driving right now, anywhere in Arizona below the rim, coming home from Tonto Basin last night, driving down to Florence, running up to Black Canyon City, the entire desert is, when the desert's covered in a green carpet,
oh my gosh,
you just know you're going to have a weed problem at your house. It's coming. It's coming, baby. It's coming.
Yeah.